Welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. I'm Karen Morales, and your host in helping you find ways to make positive changes for your business, health, relationships, and life. We always have a path to a happier ending, so let's get started today. Hello, and welcome to Momentum Magnet. We are here every week talking about tips and tricks that you can put into your life and business to make more momentum. And today is one of my favorite topics, a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, and it's about healing. Healing is a journey. If you've ever had a frantic call or a hard diagnosis, you know what it feels like to not know what your next step should be. Maybe you had the call in your soul that you knew something was wrong and you had to follow up on it. Maybe you've chased answers and diagnostics for many years until you finally received an answer. Or maybe you're just always looking for a way to put a little extra edge, a little more alpha into how you feel, because our energy is our power. Well, today I invited a published author and a spiritual intuitive to come talk to us about healing. Shara Ogan is an intuitive coach who helps women remove those invisible blocks and patterns that are standing in the way of them addressing their highest potential. She's also the author of a new book, Unlocking the Body's Wisdom, Accessing Your Healing Powers from Within. And she talks about how her 25 years of working in the medical field, along with her coaching and even clairvoyance, helped her create this new novel book. Shara, welcome. I cannot wait to hear more about your journey.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, congratulations. I know writing a book is like, you know, birthing a child, or so I hear. So yes. Congratulations on the book being out in the world.
Thank you. Yes, an accomplishment, indeed.
And how long did that process take in actually creating the book?
Incredible. It took me 4 years. I had this idea. Well, actually, I wrote this previous book when I was more mainstream, and that was about helping people get out of pain at the workplace. It was called A Quick Guide to Easing Pain in the Workplace and Beyond. But I had these concepts and more ethereal thoughts that just didn't quite fit into this book. So I kind of put them aside. So that was about 6 years ago. And then about 4 years ago, I started writing this other book. And I started writing this other book because I was working in the medical field as an occupational therapy. And I was, you know, just very mainstream, nothing hippy dippy about me. Come from a medical background. My whole family's doctors. And I was, I had stepped away from doing the more medical, helping people get out of pain, because I always had, you know, of course, positive results with helping people get out of pain and that outlet. But, and also I was a Feldenkrais somatic practitioner and had amazing results for diagnoses like neurological things, tendonitis, repetitive strain injuries, nerve, you know, just muscular dystrophy, those kind of things, strokes. And then I stepped away from that. And then I started doing more coaching and the psychic readings. And the most amazing thing happened that I was getting the same results. Like literally people's pain would almost always go away and, or go from like a 8 on a 0 to 10 scale to a 3. And their spine would align, like their walk would be softer, just so many shifts in the physical level that I started to write down. I started to take notes about what I was noticing, like for particular diagnoses and what the thoughts and the beliefs were and strategies for healing. And so that started about 4 years ago. And I was like, this is really amazing. And also I did have Louise Hay's books, You Can Heal Your Life. And mm-hmm. that gave me some ideas, but I told myself I wasn't going to look at her book for guidance while I was writing this book, because I don't know if you're familiar with her book, but it's a great book. But also affirmations aren't enough to actually get a person out of pain. And I was like, I want something more. And I want like kind of a pathway for people to know how to heal themselves as well, to take like one step further. So to answer your question, I put the book aside over a year ago, and then I picked it up at the beginning of a quarantine when the coronavirus hit, and I spent about 30 hours a week for 5 months to complete it.
Yeah, full-time job. But what an interesting journey. So there's so many pieces of this backstory to unpack. The first place I wanted to start with, though, is when did you realize you had these abilities to sort of feel into the blocks in people's health journey?
Yeah, so I get asked that question a lot, and I had to develop it just like all of us could. We all have the ability to. So it wasn't until maybe just over a decade ago that I had a mentor. She's now my best friend that I worked with. And she's like, she was a Reiki master and psychic abilities. And she's like, you should enter the psychic school, because my journey was I had done so many years of interpersonal work, transformational work, coaching. I was dedicated to, I was in organizations and assisting with organizations on improving connection and the human experience. And so I had my foot in the waters of all these transformational worlds, but I had still so many limiting beliefs of my own that I wasn't able to kick out of the water through all this work I had done. And so she encouraged me to go into the psychic training. That was about a decade ago. And I stayed in there. That was like a full-time job. I was there like 30 hours a week. And after the first year was really just shedding like tears and looking at areas of myself that I had hidden in the shadows and didn't want to really face head on. And then the second year was me seeing an incredible amount of pictures. So I would say more like 10 years ago, I realized that I had this ability to see way beyond what meets, it's sort of like tools, way beyond what meets the eyes. And as I honed in these tools and these abilities, it's like a muscle. Your psychic abilities are like a muscle. The more you practice, just like the more you meditate, the more you are able to ground and get your own information and have access to that. So I was continuing to work on it for myself. And then I was doing readings on other people. And then I was able to evoke shift and change in other people. So yeah, that's kind of the story of how I got there. But we are all born psychic. It's more of a matter of unlearning all the blocks, all the limiting thoughts and all the limiting beliefs and the contraction in our physiology. Unlearning all of that so that we could be our fullest and true selves. Because inside, I do believe that we really do know we have the information we need. Our body is an amazing temple of information. And so it's just a matter, and this is something I talk a lot about in the book, of learning how to read these messages that are already inside of ourselves.
That's really beautiful. I don't think I've ever heard anyone describe psychic abilities in the way you just did, which really made sense to me that it isn't necessarily, you know, some people perhaps you wake up, you're six and you start, you know, knowing what you're going to eat for lunch or, you know, when someone in your life may pass, but it is a skill that can be sharpened, which is really, really, I think, important for people to know, because I think there's this feeling that you either have it or you don't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I'd say the people who don't or don't feel like they do are people who are more in their head and disconnected. Their upper body and their lower body are disconnected. So that is a lot of becoming a good healer is connecting your chakras. I don't talk about chakras. My book's not so woo, but it really is aligning your upper and your lower body and connecting to earth.
Yeah. And I think that does make a lot of sense, because I have seen and I've witnessed, you know, very interesting medical miracles for people in my life and in my sphere where they have defied the odds again and again. And in some ways, I think I've even done that myself. But one of the blocks I think a lot of people have is with this idea of, you know, manifestation or creation is the feeling that, well, if I've wanted it for a long time and it's still not happening, does it mean it's not possible?
I love that question. The reason why people don't have what they want in their life is because there's a thought or a belief construct that's standing in the way. Okay. And so a lot of manifestation is removing that block and sort of like the law of attraction. I mean, I brief on this just a little bit on the book about how to do this. And I actually have a workbook that talks more about how to remove those invisible blocks and barriers of beliefs that are standing in the way. You know, it's interesting. Actually, lately I've been working with women on childbirth. You know, a lot of women right now are wanting to have children in their 40s. And we do also have a soul contract. A soul contract, whether a baby is meant to come in or not. If a baby is meant to come in, then it's literally just as it's, this is a little more abstract and I'll try to simplify it that, for instance, I'm working with a client right now and I could already see she's going to have a child. So it's just a matter of learning the lessons or, okay, here's a phrase that we can't move time forward, but at the same time we can. And so part of forwarding your progression is learning the lessons and removing whatever blocks are standing in the way from you getting from A to B. So that's some of the work I do a lot with manifestation. As we hold the vision, we see it. And then I ask, what is standing in the way? A lot of it is beliefs and thoughts, but there's also other maybe energies or past lives. This is stuff I do in my work, not stuff I talk about in my book, just FYI.
No, I mean, that's really interesting. My best friend was married in her early 40s and wanted to have a child. And as part of their wedding gift for a very long, that's a long story, but I sent both of them to a Tony Robbins event in Silicon Valley, BPW, which is about really releasing the blocks to the life that you want.
Right.
And she said all of her work in that 4-day event was around releasing her nerves about being able to get pregnant.
Yes.
And 6 days after that event, she got pregnant naturally in her early 40s and had a perfectly healthy, absolutely adorable little boy.
Yeah.
Not later.
Exactly.
And she feels like that event or that night was the reason she was able to get pregnant so easily.
Mm-hmm. And also there's all these people believing in her. There is something to say about prayer or the power of like a whole bunch of people pitting that same thought process along with you, you know, whatever thoughts people in your sphere are feeling, it's like by osmosis, this gets into our blood. It seeps into us. And so when we're going through life saying, I can't have a child, life is it's such a struggle, or I can't make money, or whatever it is, we actually convince other people to believe these same things along with us. And one thing I talk about in my book is meta messages, where we think nobody knows. We think we could be like, I'm broken, or I'm literally like financially broke, and go out into the world having these thoughts and thinking that other people aren't sensing them, but they are. And they are at a subconscious level. So all of these shifts need to happen at a subcortical, subconscious level. And then the universe around you will respond differently. And then you will, of course, attract different circumstances your way.
So it sounds so complicated, right? You think about the thing in your life you want more than anything else. And you're telling us, which I truly believe, that it's all about a shift in your believing that that possibility can actually happen. So how does one do this process? I mean, does it take an intuitive to help them unlock what that
Absolutely
block
not.
Is?
Absolutely. Okay. For that, no. In fact, so I have a background as a coach. And a lot of what I do for that is coaching. And quite honestly, I think you have to hit, okay, so we all, this is actually for my next book. We all have about 5 or 6 core limiting beliefs and core wounds and defense mechanisms that go along with them. They're deeply embedded in the core of who we are. So just because we have an experience that shifts us out of that belief, most likely this will be a theme that you'll carry throughout your life. Okay. So this is what I mean by core, deep, deep wound. Now in my workbook, so this is actually something you can do by yourself. You can work through the exercises of my workbook that will help you to shift out of these beliefs. And also I have free on YouTube, I have free videos about how to change a limiting belief. So you want to go to you have a perfectly good reason for thinking and believing I'm unlovable or whatever it is. You know, your life has shown you that, and the circumstances and your parents' beliefs, your imprinting has brought you to this person and this who you are. And by the way, everybody, even in their adult, is wanting to manifest something that they don't have. So kind of we're all similar along this journey of the struggles and there's different struggles and different limiting beliefs, but we're all wanting something different. Okay, I already lost your initial question. was it?
No, no, you're, this is perfect. This is exactly it. So let's say one of my limiting beliefs is, you know, I'm not lovable or I'm not enough, which I think in most women, probably in at least the Western world, they probably have that belief.
Everybody's got some flavor of that.
Everybody's got some flavor of that. So what sounds interesting to me is that you do these exercises, right? And you start questioning that belief to see a crack in the armor, maybe to see an opening where maybe that is not fully true. I think what I've heard from a lot of folks when they talk about this idea of diving deeper into limiting beliefs and cracking them is, are you searching for perfection by eradicating a limiting belief? You never feel insecure about being unlovable ever again. That feels hard.
Yeah. Great question. Okay. you may never 100% eliminate a limiting belief. And it's actually just, this is kind of a side point that when you're going through life and you're looking for a love partner, most likely you're going to be attracted to a partner who has you feel just the opposite of this unmet need or this limiting belief. So we're going through life trying to find evidence of like just the opposite. But to your question, when you shift out of a limiting belief, this doesn't have to do anything with ego or being above. Truthfully, it's being back to yourself, coming back to the truth of who you are, which I believe is really love. Your heart is your first organ to form. And so that brings an alignment and an openness of your perspective. You know, when we're stuck in our limiting beliefs, our perspective shuts down and it closes and we become more internal. When we're free of that, we can actually see the world with a wider perspective. And also, we're talking about strategies. I have a few strategies in my book, but there's so many more. And often when people come to see me, I like to do a combination because most of my clients have already, they're like overachievers. They've already been working so hard. And I also like people to just kind of take a break, lay down on my table or just sit down in your chair and I'm going to do the work for them. So this is what I mean by hitting it from all different angles. Some of the time I just want to do psychic healing and releasing that vibration from their body because sometimes they don't have access to it. You know, like when a person goes to see a psychologist, which I'm totally in support of, but the psychologist can only see as far as the person shares with them the information, you know? So my ability as a psychic, I could go in, actually, I really use that word, intuitive. I could go in deeper to see a person, to see what's blocking them, then they have access point to. And this is in the energy field. It's a visceral feeling. And it usually stems before they were even born.
That's incredible. It really is. So people that come to you, they come with all sorts of challenges, right? Maybe they haven't met the love of their life. Maybe they've had challenging relationship histories. Maybe they want to have a baby. And maybe they have a chronic illness that to date has lasted decades. And no matter what they have tried, it hasn't, the benefit or the healing hasn't seemed to appear. Are there any situations that you ever think are unfixable?
Well, I wouldn't use that word, but that is pretty much all my clients that you just described. And there are some things like usually when somebody really wants something and it's like, let's say I had a client who was like a 52-year-old and she wanted a baby, like to bear a baby. I think a lot is possible, but also this is a life journey. What I don't believe that you actually will want something that you can't have. When you get through the other side, like, you know, for example, with her, I think what she really wanted is a whole different, through that process of trying to bear a baby, for instance, something new is born. And that new thing that's born is more in alignment with the truth of who she is, if that makes sense to you.
Right. Like maybe it's not actually caring for the infant, but it's a feeling of family or closeness.
Yes. Like maybe it's not actually burying the baby, but it's exactly something like that. Absolutely.
So and maybe pregnancy is the reason. I've spent a lot of time thinking about that element as well. You know, I'm someone who has had many changes in their lives and has been told often that you manifest well, or you make things happen, you create things. And like most overachievers among us, at the same time, I think, yes, but there's things that I'm not getting.
Yeah.
No matter how consistently I wanted them, they're not happening. But I think there is, what you're saying there is maybe in certain cases, the healing or the outcome isn't exactly what you've written it to be.
Yeah. I mean, taking you as an example, and probably like a lot of people, you're running your energy in future time and you're really wanting something. And oftentimes that's the very thing that gets us off the mark of actually having it. When we're more in present time and in acceptance with what we have, then we're more likely to bring more in. But that's this, at the same time, having the charge and the ingenuity and the momentum that you have, that's a beautiful thing. So it's kind of finding the balance between those two. You know what I mean? It could be wanting it so bad that's actually preventing you from actually having it.
Wow. That's really good. Well, talk to us about maybe an instance in how one of your clients or even yourself was able to, you know, walk through this process of releasing a limiting belief and what that, you know, was and what that meant for their life after the moment of release.
Okay. Okay, let's see. Well, I'm just thinking of a client I saw yesterday, and okay. Well, this may be not answering your question directly, but just because it's freshest, because it was yesterday, he came in with some physical, like arm tendonitis, neck tightness. And what did he want? He wanted, to actually bear a baby with his wife, but he also wanted to be in the moment with where he was. And so I was doing a reading on him. So we did half reading and half hands-on, and I was doing a reading with him, and I was looking at the root of this. It's so funny. Once I finish a reading, I actually like clear it, you know, it's like gone.
Oh, that's fine. Then, you know, but the basic line is he came in with muscle pain, but it was really an emotional.
He was completely free of it after we did our reading, you know, it was like gone and his whole body was aligned. And there was a lot of realizations that he had from the past. Some of, for him in particular, and I talk about this little bit in my book, is a lot of it was ancestral holding on, you know, holding on to a fear. Oh, I know what his deep wound is. His deep wound was that he had done something bad. And so the guilt and the shame. And this was the very thing that was preventing him from shining his light forward, even though there was so lots of times when we have a desire, there's a dichotomy where we have the exact opposite as well. So he was actually preventing himself from shining his light forward, if that makes sense to you, when ultimately his heart just so wanted to be like seen and loved and seen by his dad. And often these desires to be seen and loved all stem from our parents, and we're replaying it in our adult life. Okay. So with the healing that I did on the relationship with his father and releasing some of the guilt and shame. And for him, I saw where he was holding it in his sternum, and I had him tap to release some of that guilt and say certain things, which I basically just work from my heart. You know, I don't do any quote unquote one particular technique, but there was such a dense energy in this part of himself. And so I wanted him to free from that energy of guilt and shame so that he could actually go forward and do what he was put on this planet to be doing without feeling like he might hurt somebody or do something wrong. So that's one example.
That is a great example. I think that kind of helps people see how that could be applied to their own life. And are there times in people that are, you know, maybe not ready to release the blocks? Like, do you find that it's a continuum of not only do you have to show up and be willing to do the work, but it also has to be the right timing?
Yeah, I see healing kind of like layers of an onion. That one layer sheds and then there's more layers and more layers, and we're constantly like chucking them away to work towards the core. And whatever wants to be released is the stuff that I see more readily. And, you know, it's always a process.
I think that's a really beautiful comment, because I know that I've done a lot of work on myself and mastery of my emotions and of my perception, and trying to really think about how to take great care of my mind, body, and soul. Yeah. And you still have, or I still have days or weeks that are just horrible, that are just not, you know, I'm thinking that I've already achieved or learned this lesson, but I'm back to being a version of myself that I thought I had retired. So I think it is important to give yourself a little grace that sometimes these lessons are cyclical and maybe it's meant to be that way. Yeah.
And it may feel like we're taking a step back, like the gravitational pull backwards when we're revisiting these old wounds. But in fact, we're actually looking at it from a new perspective and a different lens. And you have the ability to look at these hardships or limiting beliefs as an opportunity to see what lies on the other side. Because I do think, and I talk about this in my book, a great deal of wealth and information about what we're supposed to be doing on this planet lies in our shadow side. You know, like it's almost like we were put onto this planet to learn certain life lessons, and the Almighty didn't just be like, here, you have the perfect life. It's more like, here, you're going to be abused. You're going to feel on the outside. You're going to have to struggle for money. And so it's through those hardships that it's like, just imagine yourself right now, all you listeners, that if all those hardships you got to the other side, you overcame, then what would you be doing? And I conclude my book with talking about life purpose. And that gives information, the pearl of wisdom, as to what your life could look like. Because it's not by accident. We could, you know, be a victim of our circumstance and say, oh, but, you know, I have this and this. And so hence I can't do blah, blah, blah because of my life being like this. But I'm looking at them now through the lens of opportunity and growth. And I'll take the example of me. When I was trying to have a baby at age 47, I gave birth 1 month before I was 47. One year prior, I was like ready and I felt like I was like in the perfect state. And then one gollywomp after another kept happening, like one delay after another. And every time something happened, like for instance, I had one miscarriage, that's one thing that happened. And it was like, oh, okay, this is the lesson that I need to learn. So usually when we have these hurdles, we want to fight and we want to resist. We want to get angry, pissed off, you know, and the anger probably sends many lifetimes or many decades. But instead I got to this point, and I encourage any woman who's trying to have a child to surrender. And then when you surrender and maybe go into a place of contemplation or meditation and be like, what is the lesson I need to learn here? So I started to take that perspective. And then the last 6 months of me trying to get pregnant, it was kind of like this journey of like, okay, this is one I know I haven't quite conquered, like how to be in the moment, how to be patient, whatever it was. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take this moment as an opportunity to see if I could embed this deeper into my body and how this could be. Because the truth is this is the ingredient I need to be a better mother.
That's beautiful. That really is. How do you do that? So when you say, I really ask myself, what's the lesson? I mean, do you literally say out loud, hey girl, the lesson? Like, how do you do
sometimes
that?
Sometimes it's easier said than done. Like when we're in the midst of anger at our partners or whatever it is. I mean, maybe don't in that moment, but it's a great question when I'm in a meditative state.
Why do you have to meditate first and then look for clarity?
So I meditate first. I would say I look at patterns that are going on in my life, things that are causing me contraction of my muscles that are out of alignment with my true soul. And I ask for deeper information.
That's interesting. I mean, I've used that as a guiding principle in my life on really hard life decisions of tuning in and closing my eyes and sort of asking myself, you know, the direct question and then saying the answer that I hear, which is usually very short and certain.
Yeah, right. And a practice, what's really important, if any of you listeners are starting a meditation practice, it's learning how to get out of your head and get into your heart. Or I talk about this, the difference between your heart and your higher self. Sometimes it's one and the same, your heart or your higher self, but you want to know the answers, the difference between the answers from both. because your head's going to say you were right, he was wrong, and, you know, kind of go in your defense and rationality. But that right there is a red flag. And so getting, if there's like one first step I would encourage for the listeners is just getting in touch with stillness, silence, and getting to know what this higher self or this inner voice really sounds and feels like, because that's your compass that you want to listen to throughout life.
That's good. I definitely need to make some more time for listening to my inner voice. I mean, I think it's been challenging, right? We're home more, but we're not alone more.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, is it a baby now or are you still pregnant?
Yeah, she's two.
She's two, okay.
So the practice, like if you get into a meditative practice and you kind of cultivate and learn, you just have to form a relationship with this part of yourself. And then once you have the relationship, you could be in the middle of a huge work decision. Do I want to do this or that or this computer thing? And then you could just stop, pause, and ask that part of yourself. And the answer could come pretty quickly once you train yourself in that way.
Yeah, that's important for sure. So what makes the best, or I guess that's probably not the way to say it, but what are some of the shared commonalities that you see with your clients who are really successful in releasing limiting beliefs? Do they have any practices that are the same, or they've cultivated different parts of their personality to be open enough to drop an old story?
Well, I'd say when people come to see me, they've already done a great deal of work on themselves. I kind of work with more advanced people. And so they're already very familiar with these voices. You know, they're familiar with the story about where they originated from their childhood, and everybody shifts. So I'm unsure I'm directly answering your question, but, and I don't have a cookie cutter way of how I work with people because everybody's a little bit different. So, but I would say when people come to work with me, they already are in a surrendered space to hear whatever information I have to share with them and to be open enough to it. If people aren't open to it, then the outcome of the session wouldn't be as effective. So
yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I know I'm sitting here being like, why am I doing a podcast today when I really just want a session?
We can do that after, no problem. My gift to you.
I think that it is a winding path. I mean, I know in my personal health journey, right, I was told at 20 that I had this really rare version of, you know, muscular dystrophy that was prevalent in like some sub-Saharan African tribes in a few Japanese territories. And I mean, I'm looking at them like, all right, like I'm a white girl from the Bay Area. This is crazy. Like, now I live in Boston and you don't even know anybody else in this region that has this. So in that moment, I made a decision that I'm like, I am never taking your prognosis and I'm accepting it. Just, I won't. Mm-hmm. I can't be in a wheelchair and I need to be able to walk, and there's got to be a cure in here somewhere. So in my 20-year experience, I mean, there hasn't been anything that I haven't tried. So I mean, quiet 6-day meditation retreats, Reiki masters, Tom Rem, every diet under the sun, supplements you can't even pronounce, witch's brew from Chinese herbs that I'm not even sure were legal. Like, I've tried a lot of things. And I think there is something when you're on a quote unquote healing journey or a path that you have to remember that everything that you do has a purpose. And even if that purpose doesn't get you to the outcome that you want, it is still helping you on that trajectory. I was in a health seminar this week, and we had a Kundalini yoga guru from India speaking to us. And he talked about how his mother at 98, when somebody asked her, how do you feel? She said, I feel as good as 18. And I thought that was a really interesting insight, mm-hmm. in that while quote unquote physically, if you were to ask another person, my body would be expressing itself as less healthy than it was at 18 or 25 or 35, if you ask me how I feel better. Mm-hmm. And I think moving towards the feeling of contentment and aliveness and feeling good in your skin is probably a higher order message anyway than whether or not you can do like the same, I don't know, Taibo class that you did when you were 18.
Have you ever just had a moment when you're sitting there, maybe looking out at the outside and just appreciating nature? And in that moment, you could be 98 or you could be 3 or you could be, it doesn't matter. Or you could be in the worst crisis. You could have coronavirus, whatever. But it's being in that moment and being acceptance of that current moment. You know, I once thought, how would I deal if I was handicapped? And of course it would be hard, but then I thought, well, wait a second. What if we could just come to the now and come to this very moment? And in that moment, that's really the truth of what matters. And a few thoughts came up as you're talking. One thought is, if you want me to give you a session, happy to do that. And if you want, we could even record it and share it with your if you feel comfortable, that's an option. The second thought that came up was that you do have a disconnection from your lower body. I'm just picking it up in your energy field. It'd be interesting to explore what the meaning of that is. Like, you know, it's something you had some good reason for having that disconnection. So to find the information about why that is, and why, like, say, being in the head and logical mind was so much more valued for you. Like, you probably got so many rewards as a child for that. But now, as you're getting older, it's like learning to balance the frontal cortex of thinking with all the other parts of your body and coming into unison. And I see you, like so many other people in your audience, are on the same with what does it mean if I just took a break from being in my head and needing to figure out the job and came back into my body and figuring out the alignment? Because, you know, now that we're this age, there's only so many more years of work we have anyways. And so when we get, you know, into retirement age, what's really going to be important to us? And what's going to be important to us is that we're sound inside of ourselves. We're peaceful, we're happy, and that we have love around us. That really is the truth, that as we get older, that I feel like we all want to go on that trajectory, and also to help those around us. You know, there's a turning point, maybe I'd say probably in people's 40s, maybe 50s, where we all of a sudden want to help those around us even more, to cultivate a more sound existence. And also to be doing what we're meant to be doing on this planet. And we're all stepping into that right now. I think the coronavirus is a perfect transition point for us to open our hearts, feel more connected, and to step more into that purpose that we were put onto this planet for.
Yeah, that really resonated with me. And you're not the first person to tell me that there was a disconnect. I mean, I've heard it before in, like, I think it was, I don't even remember, it was the left or the right side of your body was not, you know, conjoined from the bottom to the top. So that's very interesting. And there's got to be truth there, right? I mean, I felt myself tear up when you were giving that feedback. And I always find that where there's truth, there's tears.
Yeah. Usually, at least I'll do a little add-on here is there's first the thought and the picture before it occurs in reality. So that disconnect was there before you got the symptoms and the diagnoses. That contract or agreement with whatever it is yourself, I mean, I haven't really looked that deeply into you, but whatever that agreement was with your body, the reason you needed to separate, I want you to realize that I'm actually getting teary right now as I say this, you had a really good reason for wanting that separation. It has to do with a little bit of your childhood, but also some stuff from the past. And so I just want you to feel like you didn't do anything wrong or this wasn't a curse, but instead it was something that you had no other choice but to feel that level of disconnect, to create that thought form and that picture, which then created the experience on the external. And at the same time, healing and unification can very much, it already is happening, you know, even as we're talking, the unification of the person is already happening because when we heal more of these, we'll call them wounds, but everybody has them, more human aspects, and become unified with the truth of who we are. What that means is we stop trying to discard or push away or fragment from the parts we don't like, maybe the parts of our physical body that aren't working, and rather we welcome them into ourselves because they are ourselves, and they're here to bring a message or something that has congruency with the rest of us. So it's bringing those parts together. I talk in my book a little bit about integration, and that's when we could become that Buddha, or it doesn't even have to be a spiritual thing. It's just peace and presence.
Wow. That is beautiful. I mean, I would be shocked if not everybody listening to this recording right now is not on the website trying to find you. So if people tell us, remind us the name of your book, where we can find it, and how they can go to your website and book a consultation about your intuitive coaching and your healing practice.
Great. Okay. So my website is my name, sharaogan.com. I'll spell that. It's sharaogin.com. And my email is the same, sharaogan@gmail.com. My book is called Unlocking the Body's Wisdoms, Accessing Your Healing Powers from Within. And it's a book and a workbook. So the book right now is for sale on Amazon, and on Friday it's going to be on sale on Barnes & Noble. In fact, at Barnes & Noble, it's going to be a hard copy book because of the prestige of this book. I really think hard copy is the way to go. So you can either pick one up right now on Amazon or wait till Friday for Barnes & Noble's.
Amazing. Well, I know that I'll be reading the book this weekend, and I would, you know, love to have a session with you, and we can even talk about how we could really, you know, bring something to light so that people could sort of experience what that looks like. But I mean, this was a real pleasure. I mean, I think sometimes you never know what you are going to receive. And I'm in a 4-day health seminar right now, and the speaker that just came on before I left to do the podcast seemed really inspiring and perfect. And I had that one moment of, oh man, why am I still doing my podcast when I'm supposed to be in this 4-day seminar? Oh. But this conversation, but I said, no, trust the process. And this conversation was so much more impactful to me personally than I think that experience would have been. So you're always where you're supposed to be at the right time, right?
Yeah.
It's a good lesson, in a practical lesson that I just experienced.
And I just have to throw in one more thing, that I have two group forums. One's a intuitive training. So if you want to access your third eye and open that up, that's coming up in a couple months. And then I have a group training program as well. So for people who want, you know, a cheaper price and like to do group programs, like you like to do group programs, that's coming up in a couple months as well. So
amazing. Okay. So everyone go check out sharaogan.com, and thank you and best of luck with the book. And I cannot wait to read this one and the next one.
Thank you. Okay.
Take care. Happy day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern time to share inspiring comeback stories. We want to hear your reviews and love getting your subscriptions on iTunes and Spotify. For show notes and past episodes, visit MomentumMagnet.com. I'm Karen Morales, keynote speaker, writer, and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a fast-growing marketing agency for purpose-driven companies. Whether you are a business needing an agency, or if you are looking for weekly tips to get ahead, sign up at marketing-magnet.com to receive our weekly inspiration on getting more in your life and business.